Have a sermon. I said, I got a Bible. That's a sermon.
Amen.
Psalm 68 and verse 19. You know, when we go out to work, we want a good salary. But at the same time, that's not what we want all. We want what? Vacation? We want some sick time? We want some health insurance? We want all of these things as benefits. And I want to talk to you today about what the Lord gives you in benefits. We ought to be thankful to the good Lord in heaven because he's the greatest benefiter that is. Good to be with y'all today. I'm happy to be within any house that God has ordained to preach his word. What's the first benefit that God has given us? Eternal life. For it tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, praise God, it don't make any difference if you're male or female, black, white, red, yellow, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. People are trying to go through cryonics. They're trying to do exercise. Like I told someone the other day, the Bible says that bodily exercise profiteth little. I don't exercise the way I should. Always came out under the assumption that if you exercise and cause your heart to beat faster, what does that do? It wears it out faster. But at the same time, the best way to lose weight, if you want to lose weight, is don't let this elbow bend as much. Isn't that right? But God has given us eternal life, everlasting life. Jesus is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. And the Bible says we are in Jesus. We are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. And if we're in Jesus, that means that we're going to live just as long as Jesus lives. And that's for eternity. We have everlasting life. Now, he could have given us that and that would have been all right. But the Bible says that he gave it to us abundantly. In John chapter 10, we see the good shepherd, the great shepherd. We see him that came and died so that we might have life. He says, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. Didn't cost you a red cent. Eternal life. You're going to be absent from this body and present with the Lord. Eternal life. And they shall never perish. Think about that. Just as you've been born in this world and born through Jesus Christ, his blood and the water of the word, you will never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. ISIS thinks it can end it all by cutting your throat, cutting your head off. But I got news for you. We'll never, never perish. Why? Because no man can pluck us out of his hand. He says, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Just think about it. You're sitting in Jesus' hand. He's in the Father's hand. And no man can pluck you out. Praise God, we're never going to perish. Because we have Jesus. Not only did he give it to us abundantly, but it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 4 through 8 that we are forever going to serve him. You know, some people say, well, what are we going to do in heaven? It's going to be boresome just sitting up there doing nothing. But I got news for you, friends. We're not going to be just sitting up there. We're going to be serving the Lord even after we get there. Now, sin will be done paid for. The devil will be in his place in hell. But we are going to be serving the Lord. We're going to be given certain countries or certain places, and we're going to rule and reign over them according to his will. But in 2 Corinthians 5, 4 and 8, it says, for it that we are in this tabernacle do groan. I don't know about you, and maybe this ain't the words, but old age is the pitch. I have seen my body go down. I have seen things happen in my own life. One thing I'm scared of more than anything else is steps. I don't know about y'all. But in this tabernacle, and notice it says tabernacle. That's a temporary place. In this tabernacle, we groan. But I got news for you. What little bit of suffering we have to do here is not worthy to even be compared with the exceeding eternal weight of glory we got waiting on the other side. Suffer. Yes, we must suffer. The Lord suffered, we're going to suffer. But he goes on to say, being burdened not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. We are in the corruption, but we're going to put on incorruption. We are in the mortal state, but we're going to put on immortality. Praise God, death has been swallowed up in victory. We're going to live forever and ever. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. The earnest of the Spirit means the down payment. What is the Spirit? It's the down payment. In other words, it's that God has given us to claim the promise of eternal life. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. We got to die, folks. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. We got to put on a new body. And the Lord has got a new body prepared for us. All we're waiting to do is put off this body and put on the new one. And it won't be long. I believe the Lord, and I'm no time setter, but I believe he'll come this year. For the many things that I've been reading, as far as blood moons, my wife had been reading, September the 15th, something else is supposed to happen big with Israel. Every time something happens with Israel, it affects the whole world. Israel is God's time clock. So pray for Israel. Pray for Jerusalem. The Bible tells us that those that will pray for Jerusalem shall be blessed. So we walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. The Bible scientists say that the only thing you can actually depend upon is something that you can see hear, taste, smell, or feel. But we're not scientists. We're children of God and we walk by faith, because without faith it is impossible to please God. You've got to believe that he is. You say, well, what do you know about faith? I walk by faith because, as I said, I left Ashland Road Baptist Church after preaching there for 35 years and 9 months. And then God said, get out. There ain't but one thing that I could depend upon, and that was faith. Faith that God was going to open doors for me and that I would be what God would have me to be by stepping through. I don't want to be an outcast. I don't want to be one that beateth the air. I want progress. And praise God, that's what you've got to have. You've got to have that desire to see progress, not only in this church, but in your life today. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I don't know about y'all, but I would love to have the Lord come today. Praise God, I ain't got nothing to go back home to. All I got is a little puppy in a cage. He'll have to find it rough. But other than that, I don't have a thing to go back home to. I'd just soon to go my eternal home, which is up in heaven. I got my name on the written on the Lamb's Book of Life. You got to have your name on the Lamb's Book of Life. Otherwise, you're not a citizen of that country. Then what else does God give us? No death. Say, you're crazy. Graveyard's full of them. No. We're changing mountaintops. We're going to live in a city where there'll be no wreath or funeral wreath upon the door. There'll be no funeral homes. There won't be any need for Duke Power or any of these other power companies, because the sun is the power of that city. Not only that, my friends, but the Bible says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Notice God didn't call it death. God called it sleep. It's just like you go to bed at night, you close your eyes, and you go into sleep. But my friend, when we wake up, joy cometh in the morning. Praise God. We'll have a new body. We won't have these aches and pains and backaches and everything that we have now. Praise God, we're going to be free from pain. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You know how long that is? GE says that's 11/100th of a second. Boy, that's fast. 11/100th of a second, we're going to leave this world. We're going to leave all the clothes. We're going to leave all the jewelry. We're going to leave everything behind. The last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. Praise God. Oh, Gabriel's going to step out with his trumpet, and he is going to blow that trumpet, and we're going to be with the Lord forever and ever. We shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be written, now listen to this, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We already got the victory. All we got to do is claim it. We sing that song, Victory in Jesus. Yes, we do have the victory. All we got to do is claim it. The sting of death is like a honeybee. When a honeybee stings you, he dies. There's only one sting, but guess what? Christ Jesus took our stinger. He took our sting. When death stung him, it set us free. Now, what about death? Death, believe it or not, has a taste. But the Bible says in John chapter 8 and verse 52, then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep, notice that, if a man keep, if you love the Lord, you'll keep his commandments. If a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. You know the reason we won't taste death? The conclusion is Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. Why? Because Jesus has tasted death for every man. Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. He came that death could be abolished. He hung on the cross, took your sin and my sin, and nailed it to the cross of Calvary. And now, praise God, we won't have to taste of death. Then what else? We don't have to. That one other verse I'd like to read. I read this in my Bible sitting out in the car when my granddaddy died. Now listen to the wording. John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus said unto Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. If we die and we're buried in a grave, praise God, ain't no grave gonna hold his body down because we're coming out. But what does verse 26 says? Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Think about it. You're not going to die. You're just going to change mountaintops, like I said. What else has he done for us? You will never see death. John 8, 52. Well, 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying. Notice there is a commandment in both of them that we keep his sayings. He shall never see death. I bet you y'all know Psalm 23, don't you? Most people know it by heart, probably. But I want you to notice a verse in it. Yea, though I walk through the, what? Valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Through the valley of the shadow of death. You ever seen a shadow hurt anybody? That's reading the Bible says. We're never going to see it. We're just only going to see its shadow. Hey, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Also, there is no fear. Romans 8 and verse 11. But if the spirit of him, and if a person doesn't have the spirit of God, he is none of his. When we got saved, God put the Holy Spirit within us. And if that Spirit is within us, that Spirit raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He will raise up, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. We've got more promises, benefits, than we could ever dream of. All because we're a child of the King. Then what else does God give us? He gives us fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if now be you are in heaviness through manifold trials and temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We're rejoicing. We got joy in our heart. Why don't we walk around all the time looking like a prune or sucking on a lemon? We're children of God. We ought to be happy all the time. Why? Because God has put a joy within our hearts. A joy that ought to bubble out all the time. Sure, old age and life comes at you hard. But guess what? Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. We can overcome it. We can overcome anything. Where do we get our joy? We get it from the strength that we have in the Lord. If you look at Nehemiah chapter 8, it says, Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. You know, joy is Jesus first, others second, yourself last. But most people got it opposite. Yourself first, others second, and Jesus last. But to have joy, you've got to keep it in the J-O-Y. But it says here, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Why do Christians get weak? It's because we don't have the joy. We've lost it. We're letting the devil, like little foxes, steal our grapes of joy. We've got to be full of it continuously. Rebuke the devil with the blood of Jesus, because he gets one drop on him, he's a clean devil, and he knows it. And he'll not come close to the blood of Jesus. Our strength is in his joy. Psalm 5:11. The Bible tells us, but let those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. If you don't like shouting down here, you better not go to heaven, because there's going to be plenty shouting up there. It's going to be shouting on the hills of glory. Let the people of God shout for joy, because thou defendest them. We have the joy in Jesus, not in ourselves, because ourselves will cause us to fall. But Jesus will preserve us and able to keep us from falling. He is there all the time when we need him. Peter said, Jesus, let me walk out of this boat and walk on the water. He said, come forth. Peter walked on the water at Jesus' word. But when he looked down, he saw the waves lapping at his feet, and he began to sink. My friends, that's the reason all of us, as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus, we can walk on the waters of the trials and tribulations to this old world. But when we get our eyes off of Jesus and look at what's going on around us, we're going to sink. We got to keep them on Jesus, and we'll walk on the water. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. I don't see how anybody could not love his name, because we were saved for his name's sake. Nothing we did, nothing we're going to do, but we were saved for his name's sake. And so we should rejoice in his name. We have in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 through 18. You know, one time we were blinded by the God of this world. But now we can see, because God, through Jesus Christ, has translated us from the darkness into the glorious light of his Son. We are a child of light now. And praise God, we walk in the light. And if a person walk in the light, he'll not walk in darkness, because there's no darkness in Christ. I like what it says, 2 Corinthians 4, 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But through our outward man, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The one that you feed the most is the one that's going to be ruling your body. If you feed it with worldly things, then you're going to be worldly. You're going to be weak. But if you feed it spiritual things, you'll grow stronger and stronger every day. But he goes on to say, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, our life is but a vapor that appears for a little while and then just fades away. But this light affliction that we have down here worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. All these things down here, this church, everything on the face of this earth, one of these days is going to be burned up. So don't look at what's down here. Don't look at your riches. You're a millionaire. You just ain't coming to your inheritance yet. Jesus Christ died for it. Oh, Jesus. Joy is so real. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Notice that one to another. The very first thing that God taught you after you got saved was what? Love the brethren. Because if you can't love the brother whom you have seen, how in the world are you going to love God whom you have not seen? You got to love your brother. Well, I just can't stand his personality. Maybe he can't stand yours. But look at it this way. look beyond faults and see needs. Isn't it wonderful to know? Not only that, my friends, but we have peace without end. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. Philippians 4 and verse 7. You know, we couldn't walk with God back in the Garden of Eden. We sinned against God. By one man came sin, and death by sin. Adam said, why not? The devil said, he ain't going to do nothing to you, Eve. You go on ahead. By the way, how many of you know the three names of Eve, the woman? Three names. She was called woman, which is a blessed term. She was called Eve, the mother of all nations. And she was called Adam. Go back and look in your Genesis record. He made a man and woman and called their name Adam. Have you realized just what standing you have with God? Now we are the sons of God. What does it take to be a son of God? A miracle birth. A miracle creation. You are a miracle creation. Adam was a son of God. The angels were sons of God. Jesus was a son of God. And now we are sons of God. God created you through a miracle. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God gives us that sweet, settled peace. Not only that, my friends, we couldn't walk with God anymore because we sinned back in the Garden of Eden. God says, I can't walk with them anymore. So what happened? Jesus Christ came into this world. He bridged the gap between God and man. And now we can walk with God. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? Because Jesus bridged the gap once again. And he made peace with God through his death. We are without blame. Colossians 1, 20 and 20 through 22. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and yea, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, you now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and reprovable in his sight. Think about it. We're going to stand before God guilt-free. Guilt-free. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. And my friends, let me tell you something. Preachers always talking about, a lot of them, about being covered by the blood. Ain't no such thing in the New Testament. We've been washed in the blood of Jesus. Revelation chapter 1. Covered by the blood is Old Testament. It meant that the blood of bulls and goats and animals was covering up our fleshly sin. But in the New Testament, which you cannot find but one verse, and that's in Romans, it says, blessed is the man whose sins are covered. And that was a quote from the Old Testament. The Bible goes on to say, that there's never going to be separation. Never going to be separation. Romans chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. See that? Keeps talking about rejoicing and having joy. Get off the lemon you're sucking on. Praise God. Let's live in joy. Rejoice. When he came into this world and died on the old rugged cross, you know what he did? He took the power of the devil away from him. The devil thought, oh man, I've got the victory now. But you know what? Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 18, it says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. My friends, Jesus Christ took the one power that the devil had, the power of death that he was holding over us, and set us free. We are not subject to that bondage anymore. And last of all, and this is the wonderful thing, he's prepared a mansion for us. You ready to go to that mansion? Praise God. It's one that'll never have a death wreath upon the door. He's got it reserved for you. I want you to notice what he says, John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. It is impossible for God to lie. If it were not so, I would have told you. God cannot lie. This is the truth. And praise God, the truth will set you free. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will, not maybe, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Because Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I don't care what Obama says. I don't care what Oprah says. There ain't but one way to get into heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. He says, if it wasn't true, I would have told you so. You know, the greatest desire of the Lord Jesus Christ is for you to be with him. They think back over there in Matthew, I believe it's 6 or somewhere in that neck of the woods, that is called the Lord's Prayer. It's not. That was the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. That's their prayer. What is the Lord's Prayer? John 17. That's the Lord's Prayer. Read it sometime. My Lord, it will cause your heart to jump. You know, when we get up in age, we want to make out a will. Leave everything we have to someone else. Because we're only borrowed it for a while. Now we got to give it up. But it says here in John 17, 24, Father, I will. Ah, that's his will right there. that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Jesus wants you living there in heaven with him to enjoy all the blessings of heaven. That's his will. Not that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Second Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God don't want to lose not one. That's the reason he's holding on, not taking us home. He wants everyone to have a chance. My friends, that means that we need to get out and we need to tell our loved ones. If they're lost, we need to get them into a church. We need to get them saved by reading them the Word of God. For a person that reads the Word of God and then the Holy Spirit acts upon them, that person can be saved. But it says in Revelation 21:1-4, think about this, friend. This is where we're going to live. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. You notice, bride, husband. That does not promote homosexuality. It's a man and a woman. Not a man and a man and a woman and a woman. For it says in Romans 1, those that do those things have a reprobate mind. But it says, I, John, saw the holy New Jerusalem come down out of God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now listen to this. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. This is the invitation I give you. Revelation 22:16-17. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. How about it today? Do you have all those benefits? If you're a child of God, you got every one of them. And all you got to do is believe. Believe. Accept it through faith. Like I said, if you don't have the faith, you're not going to please God, for it's impossible. Folks, I know we're few in number here, but I've been few in number. In fact, I've preached to what we called the Wood family when I was at Ashland Road Baptist Church. Who's the Wood family? Those pews. Sometimes I didn't have anything but my wife. But don't get discouraged. A little is a lot when God is in it. And you need to keep God in it continuously. Brother, I'm going to turn it over to you. Like I said again, thank you for letting me come. Come on up first, brother. I'll have to wobble that time.
We'll sing a couple of verses of 253. 253.